Hello, insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash.
And Eb Wilkinson.
And
Charles Heller and Charger.
Coming to you live, broadcasting from the headquarters of the Bustos Media Worldwide Juggernaut in the KVOI Perfection Auto Works Studio, welcoming you to our 2024 Veterans Day and 2024 Election Analysis Show. A couple of important opening announcements before we get started with our guest today. First of all, Eb and I hope, and Charles also hopes, that you're prepared to be entertained tomorrow at the Rocking for Heroes event up in the OV at James Craig Park on Calle Concordia, just west of Oracle Road. Music by the Mark Miller Band, the Lexington Lab Band, and fun, food, and many attractions for the entire family, which helps fund support for first responders, active military veterans, and Gold Star families. And finally, it's time to start thinking about Christmas and the wreaths across America. Our friend Onita Davis will join us in just a few minutes to tell us how everyone can support this year's great event. Eb?
We've got another great show for you today on Inside Track. As Bruce just announced, in just a few minutes, Onita Davis from Wreaths Across America joins us in celebration of Veterans Day to talk about us, or to talk to us about supporting Wreaths Across America again this year. At the bottom of the hour, former RNC treasurer and two-time AZ GOP chair Randy Pullen joins us to discuss the election results, and Republicans overseas president joins us when we return for hour two of the show to give us his inside information how America elected Donald Trump. We'll close out the show taking your calls, and the three of us will do some kibitzing and speculate on the future.
I'm glad you got kibitzing right. Most of the time it's kibbutzing.
That's something else. That's communal gathering.
Bruce, I am Jewish from the waist on down.
Okay.
And with that vital information, we bring you this.
So pull up a chair and enjoy all of our great guests and topics on today's show while you listen to us driving around in town or working at home. Before we hear from our special guest today, let's do a quick shout out to our great Inside Track supporters. Eric Rudin at Essential Pest, Jamie and Craig at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works, and of course my company, Wilkinson Wealth Management.
Eb and I support each of these locally owned businesses, so should you. And one more point, each of our sponsors support Inside Track because they believe in helping spread conservative ideals and American values. Help them keep us on the air by supporting them. Please let them know you heard about their businesses on Inside Track. Producer Tom will be taking your relevant comments and questions for our guests today. We invite you to call us and our guests at 520-790-2040. Welcome back, Eb. I hope your special assignment last weekend went well.
It went very well, Bruce.
That's good. That's good. Good to have you back. Charles Heller, always good to see you, especially in person.
Yeah, it's neat to be here. I mean,
you're on the other side of the table, too.
I usually don't get to be this close to the studio. And of course, you got the lights in here at interrogation level,
yeah,
so I'm
right
sure I'll be
that.
Direct with you.
Yeah, we need to kind of turn them down a little bit.
Yeah.
You can turn into all of Charles Heller's great shows tomorrow on KVOI. Turn the damn light back on.
And now we're benighted.
Turn into all of Charles Heller's great shows tomorrow on KVOI, Swap Shop, Liberty Watch, as well as America Armed and Free. I do hope all of our listeners will tune in tomorrow also. Congratulations to all of our local and statewide Republican winners in the election last Tuesday, including friend of the show, Abe Hameda, who just won his election in Maricopa County for Congress. I hope our friends Juan Ciscomani and Dave Schweikert the same luck. Vince Leach and Steve Christie will have their races called in their favor very soon. If we actually had a functioning Pima County GOP, perhaps we'd have more to celebrate here. This crew has never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity. A very special shout out to the lunatics running LD17 who refused to support Juan Ciscomani or Vince Leach. There should be a special place in hell. A tribunal is way too good for them. If we lose these two elections, friends, it's on you. And a shout out to their related crazy cousins who supported Democrat Chris Nanos for Pima County Sheriff. What the hell are all of you people drinking? The rest of us in Pima County had a poison pill jammed down our throats due to your efforts to undermine law and order here. Thanks for nothing. A great candidate lost her effort to improve law enforcement in Pima County without tyranny, and the jail will continue to be a mess, threatening the lives of prisoners, corrections officers also. Chris Ackerley's defeat for county treasurer will surely cause Pima County taxpayers much grief because his opponent won't be working for us in the future. Unqualified Democrat Brian Johnson will be giving away the power of the office to the county administrator and our radical leftist Pima Board of Supervisors, eroding three decades of superior public service by Beth Ford and more recently Chris Ackerley. They've been playing games, trying to get control of the treasurer's office for a long time, and it looks like they finally have won the battle. The new county treasurer will now be working directly with the crackpots who dominate Pima County government. Will we see another defalcation here in Pima as happened in Santa Cruz County? I sure hope not. There was a time when several Republicans held important line positions in Pima County government. That's all over. It's time for our local Republican Party to learn how to win again and make Republicans great again in Pima County. We at Inside Track thank all Republicans who stood up to run in 2024, win, lose, or draw. It's an honorable thing for each of these patriots that they have done. God bless you all. Well, guys, America had a huge week. We'll get to that shortly. But first, do we have Onita Davis on the phone?
Yes, you do.
All right. Well, we want to talk to you, Onita. You're the queen of wreaths across America here in Southern Arizona. So tell us what's going on with wreaths across America this year.
Well, first of all, I just want to encourage everyone who has participated before to please do so as soon as possible. And those who have not, step out there and take a chance and help us out. November 29th. Will be the deadline. Wreaths Across America must have the orders by November 29. So up until the 29th of this month, you can go online and order. And we just encourage you to do that. Thank goodness the wreaths are still $17. And if you have not participated in the Wreaths Across America program before, I really encourage everyone to go to any one of our local cemeteries. They all participate. They will all have services on December 14th at 10 a.m. noon Arlington time, 10 a.m. our time, 9 a.m. California time. We will all be placing wreaths at the same time. And it's just a wonderful way to build a sense of love of country and patriotism. And I thank you to all those who have served our country. Boy, you got me all wrapped up in your intro. I can tell you that, Bruce.
So before I turn you over to Eb and Charles, how much does it cost for the wreaths this year? Is it still $17, as you said?
Still $17.
And can you pay by credit card? How does that work? How do you pay?
Yes. If you would like to order immediately, I would encourage you to go online and pay by credit card. You can go to my website, which is ovunit132.info.
And say that again.
Do it slower. Speed of the pen.
O as in oral, V as in valley, unit132.info. So it's www.ovunit132.info. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and there's a QR code and a link, whichever is easiest for you. And you can click there, get on our web page, and just click Sponsor a Wreath.
I think Eb's doing that right now.
I'm doing that right now.
It's working, isn't it? I tested it before I got on the radio.
Ooh. Now that's due diligence.
That's good. That's good citizenship also.
It is.
So before, again, I lied a second ago. Before we turn you over to Eb and Charles, talk about your family's veteran history, because it's considerable, isn't it?
Well, I do come from a veteran family, a military family, so you know why I have a passion for helping my veterans. My husband is a Navy vet. My brother retired from the Air Force. My uncle served in Korea in the Army. We have one son who is a Marine, because once a Marine, you're always a Marine.
Hoorah.
One son, hoorah. One son, Air Force, and two cousins, Army. So, and I always thought when I was in elementary school that I would go into the military, but it didn't turn out that way. But I'm serving my country now. And so if any of the veterans are listening, thank you so much for your service on this Veterans Day weekend.
Yep.
Let me see. And one other thing that I'd like to share with the audience, since I have the mic, and you know you should never give me the mic.
You've always got the mic, Anita.
One other group that I would like to just give a shout out to is Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans. I am on the board there, and we are the group that does the annual stand down for homeless and at-risk veterans. And I just wanted people to mark their calendars that the first week in March, we will hold our annual stand down here in Tucson. It will be at the Ramada on 22nd and Highway 10. And if you would like to just stay abreast with what's going on with that, you can email them and ask them to put you on their mail list. It's Tucson Vets.
ServingVets@gmail.com. So, Anita, I'm right in the middle of getting ready to finish checking out. I'm purchasing 36 wreaths.
Yay!
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so very much. We are really in need of wreaths this year. All the cemeteries are really struggling right now, you know, with the election and people being so depressed of what they thought was going to happen.
Well, some are, not all of us.
Well, so, yeah, thanks. Some
only
are
the
really
sorry people.
Now. Yeah, we're happy. And so the donations have been less than what we would like to see. So we just encourage people. And thank you so much, Ed, for that. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. As a Marine vet. By the way, Bruce.
Yes.
Tomorrow, November 10th.
Is the anniversary.
249th birthday of the Marine Corps.
Hoorah.
Just think about that. A bunch of guys getting it together in a bar, starting one of the greatest fighting forces that ever existed. And we celebrate by drinking.
Still.
Yes, it sounds appropriate. Well, and also,
tradition,
you know, we're talking
tradition.
About things that we celebrate. As American Legion Auxiliary, you know, we were founded along with the American Legion in 1919.
Wow.
And that was a lot of people, a group of guys who got together and decided after World War One, that they did not want to lose touch with one another. They loved that feeling of camaraderie. And they started the American Legion, and we are chartered by Congress, both of us. And so any support that you give us is always greatly appreciated.
Do I dare say that they're also drinking together?
I didn't want to say that. But just real quickly, I know I don't have a lot
of
time.
You got the floor, kiddo.
In 2023, Race Across America placed over 3 million wreaths.
Wow.
That's our biggest so far, even though some people tried to shut us down a couple of years ago. So over 3 million wreaths were placed. 43,000 of those were in Arizona.
How many military graves are there in the United States? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I know just alone in Arlington, it's what, over 268,000? I know if you look right here in our own town, Evergreen has 15,000.
All right. I was thinking, yeah, you said Evergreen. Exactly. I was thinking Marana. Marana is a fairly new cemetery. How many are there?
Marana is a fairly new cemetery. Our goal this year is 3,500 wreaths. And, you know, it's becoming, you know, very popular now. So, of course, our numbers keep going up and up and up.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, already 3,500. But I think perhaps Evergreen and maybe Eastline may be the two largest ones we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Anita,
and all of them.
Anita, I was just reading a little bit more about the stand down. What I picked up online was the stand down shelters homeless veterans for a couple of nights while they connect with VA in a wide variety of community services, ranging from things as simple as obtaining a driver's license or state issued ID for getting a job and housing. It's open to all veterans, National Guard, and reservists in the area. There's a career fair. Bring extra copies of your resume, you know, for finding new jobs. Find assistance with clothing, haircuts, housing, legal assistance, mental health services, spiritual counseling, employment, disability claims, benefits, pet care, and much more. And they even get lunch, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, let me ask.
We will not be able to house them this year. We simply don't have the resources for that.
Oh, those are filled up with immigrants.
We do make sure, yeah, probably. We do make sure that we connect them with people who can help them find housing. And that's why we do this stand down. We try to do it twice a year. This year, instead of doing it this November, we did holiday food cards for veterans in need. So we've been passing out food cards through the various agencies here that work with the homeless or veterans at risk. So that's what we did this November instead of the stand down. I know I've been getting a lot of questions about that.
Anita, it's Eb. I've got probably a half a dozen spare sport coats, probably 100 spare ties that I'm not going to use anymore. Where can I take those to help the veterans?
Typically, because we don't have storage, we will be accepting donations the first couple of days of the stand down.
So Ed would come down and donate it right at the site?
Right at the site. So that Monday and Tuesday, we're usually setting up. And that's when we accept donations, because we don't have a facility and we don't have a lot of storage.
And where would this be?
That's going to be at the Ramada Inn. That's right at 22nd and Highway 10.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Hey, Anita, before we let you go, tell us a little about your husband's service. You know, where he served, what he did in the service, and also on your sons.
Well, my husband was U.S. Navy, but he was naval aviation. He was an airplane mechanic.
He was He wasn't a naval aviator, was he?
Yes, something like that. But he wasn't. Everyone says, what happened to be on water? Well, he wasn't. He was in the air tracking the Russian fleet at the time, because that was Vietnam.
God bless him.
Yeah. So the son who is a Marine, stayed at Guantanamo for a significant period of time. The other son was in Air Force Reserves. And my uncle, who served in Korea, of course, I was a little girl, and I never knew the issues he faced, but I now realize that he had severe PTSD. And I'm just so sorry that that was not really a recognized condition, even after Korea.
Was it unrecognized or merely untreated?
Well, you know, they had a word for it, but right. It was untreated.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it was shell shock, battle fatigue.
Well, it was in World War One. It was called Soldier's Heart. I mean, it's been known a long time, but I think the impetus has always been to say, just deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's what I was referring to. There was, you know, no one saw it in him. We certainly didn't as a family. And I now realize how much he suffered, and we just had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason why I really am dedicated to supporting my veterans. And that's why Tucson Vets Serve in Vets, when we do stand down, our commitment is to try to get our veterans linked up with the VA because they have so many benefits. And unfortunately, many of the Vietnam veterans don't want to have anything to do with the VA.
I know a young man, he rents from us at one of our properties, who's who works at the VA. And I can tell you, if even a tenth of the people at the VA, and I know there's a lot more who feel this way, but if only a tenth of them were as passionate as my friend Josh is about giving back service, and he's also an Army veteran himself, this world and the lives of a lot of veterans would be a lot better. So one more time, Onita, tell all the listeners to Inside Track how they can support Wreaths Across America. By the speed of the pen, please.
Okay. So you can go to www.OVValleyUnit132.info. Scroll to the bottom of the page. On your cell, you can use the QR code or you can click on the link and the screen will come up and you can just click on that red button that says Sponsor a Wreath.
Well, thanks
and
very
much. We'll walk you through it.
Thanks very much, Onita. We will have you on again probably right before Thanksgiving to do another segment with us. We want to make sure that we get as many of our listeners involved this year again and new listeners or new gifts as well for Wreaths Across America. It's time for us to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back with, I think, Randy Pullen to talk about the 2024 election after hearing from our great sponsors. No channel flipping. You're listening to Inside Track with Eb, Charles, and Bruce on KVOI.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I found this babe at the gym. You know what? I got her wrapped around my little finger.
Look at this car.
Wow, I really scored with this hunk. I'm in heaven. This guy's a keeper.
No way! I can't believe this. It's my everything. It's my life, man. It's my car. Wait a minute.
Man.
What's going on?
You're a loser.
Wait a minute.
Let me out of this car.
Loser.
Hey, baby, don't do this to me. Come on, I'll get the car fixed. Come on, honey, where you going? I'll take it to Perfection Auto Works. Man, you did it again.
People that have their car serviced at Perfection Auto Works never strike out. Avoid a breakdown disaster with our free 26-point inspection. Belts, brakes, tires, complete auto repair. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Essential pest control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
My main goal is to make everything easy for the customer, whether every decision I make in terms of business is, will this make sense for the customer and is this make it easier for the customer to come and look at material, how the yard is organized, what material we cover, what material we offer, anything like that.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to
Inside Track. Bruce and Eb here, as is Charles Heller, with a special guest, In just a moment, we're going to hear from Randy Pullen as soon as producer Tom's able to get him on the air. He's going to talk to us about the 2024 election. But first, this portion of the program brought to you by Essential Pest. You can trust Essential to help your home be safe from all sorts of bugs and vermin. When you contact Essential or any of his supporters, please let them know you heard about us or heard about them listening to us on Inside Track.
Our guest, if we have him, until the top of the hour, is former RNC treasurer and two-time AZGOP chair, Randy Pullen. Sorry to take you away from brats and beer at the football stadium up north, Randy.
That's okay, Bruce.
So they're
looking for the big game, ASU U of A.
Yeah, we're not looking forward to it down here. And I didn't know that we had a football team playing this season, but that's another story for another time. You'll have plenty of opportunity to insult me for the next several months over that game. In the Wall Street Journal today, in this morning's edition, they referred to the 2024 presidential election as a thumping rebuke. Rui Teixeira says that the party went wrong when it abandoned progressive centrism and embraced a hard left cultural ideology. Teixeira sure didn't, but he held his nose and voted for Kamala Harris. But he found her distinctive policy ideas, to the extent that she had them, questionable. He then went on to say, I definitely was not a big enthusiast, but I voted for her anyway. His historical loyalty to the Democratic Party meant that he couldn't bring himself to vote for Donald Trump. A lot of obvious things that bother people about Trump, he said, bothered me, too. Mr. Trump is a bit too chaotic and unpredictable. It seemed like a risky thing to me. How would you assess his comments, Randy?
Well, the Democrats lost this election. And that's because the things they were offering made no sense whatsoever. You know, it reminds me of the Rolling Stones song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Right?
A man comes on the radio telling me more and more about some useless information. I can't get no satisfaction. And that's what was going on. We had Gen Z. We had Hispanics, and we had a lot of blacks that were very, very frustrated with what the Democrats did over the last 4 years, and they wanted change. They wanted money in their pocket, not less money in their pocket.
Yeah, I mean, all they were looking for was a steady job, you know, some hope for the future, a way to go out, you know, have a meal with your friends and family, a vacation. You know, I mean, this isn't people looking to live extravagantly. They just want to have an okay life, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the Democrats totally missed it, and the Republicans picked up on it. I give them a lot of credit. Nationally, they did a great job in terms of reaching out to the young voters, reaching out to the voters that vote some of the time, but not all of the time, right? And they did a great job on that. And they brought in a bunch of new, what I would call new Republicans. And my concern, looking forward, never looking backwards, looking forward, is we got to make sure that we continue to keep them on our side.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's the middle class. It's putting money in people's pockets, and not crazy, and not causing crazy problems. And that's what I think Trump will do. The part I didn't like about those comments was in the Wall Street Journal was, I think Trump is pretty rational and understandable what he's going to do. Okay. And so we'll see. I mean, the one thing he did learn from his first 4 years is that you got to clean house, and that's going to happen, and we'll see how that all plays out in time. I mean, clearly, he has the ability to reverse all the things that Biden did when he came into office. In other words, we'll go back to putting the wall up. We'll go back to taking care of that whole situation at the border. And we'll go back to drilling for oil. We'll once again, we'll be not having to buy oil overseas. We'll have our own oil. We'll have our own gas.
And selling, these products all around the world.
And we'll be selling it. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, and so and then you talk about tariffs. Tariffs worked when he increased the tariffs. It worked, and it will work again. The thing about tariffs is you're charging more for goods that are being shipped into the country, and as long as we keep our tax rates low here in the country, which is what he said he's also going to do, it's going to be make it much more attractive to be actually here in the United States producing whatever it is you produce.
Randy Ebb here. So when you go back and take a look at the people who say, or when Biden told the citizens, look, it is good, the economy is great, you're just not understanding it, you're just not seeing it. People respond by saying, yeah, but I'm not seeing it in my paycheck either. Oh, no, that's wrong. Go back and look again. And yet, inflation was through the roof on everything these people needed, from food to housing to transportation, the whole bit. So now that Trump's – and so I got to believe that that was one of the huge things that Trump had going for him, the old Ronald Reagan, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? You know, and if you were better off now than you were 4 years ago, you're an illegal alien. But we've got – you know, the midterms coming up in a couple of years that we need to worry about. How much time do we have to get things changed and under control and reversed so that when the midterms come up, we're not going to be shell-shocked?
Well, yeah, that's the issue. And what I've been telling some of our elected officials is now the work begins.
Yeah, this is the real. This is a real challenge here.
It's the real work is going to be 24/7 in order to get all these things straightened out and reset. And so that's. And again, we'll have to watch and see how it goes. And he. And again, you don't have 100% control over everything, obviously, but you have some control. And we'll see how it all goes. And I got my fingers crossed that they get things worked out. That. I think getting inflation, the growth rate of inflation down, that's very doable. Part of that, and again, you know this, Bruce, because we've been down this road many times, that it's the government spending has caused the inflation.
Yep.
So the number one thing that needs to happen is they need to cut back on government spending. Okay, and we got to get it back down to a balanced budget. When they do that, that's going to be a very, very positive thing to have happen. Now, how do we do that? That's the problem, is how do we get it back down to a level that's manageable?
Randy, along those lines, this is Charles Heller, host of Liberty Watch from Sunday's guest co-hosting here. And the question is, did you see what Trump said on X about reducing the administrative state? Have you had a chance to review that yet?
Yeah, I have. And I've been saying this for a long time. I mean, why did we ever need a Department of Education, right?
Right.
I mean, educational systems were managed by the 50 states, by the parents at the state level. We didn't need a federal government getting involved into our schools. And again, you know how it works. They got money. So if you want their money, you got to do what they say.
It's an extortion racket.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I think we need to do away with the Department of Education. Department of Energy, what do we need that for?
It doesn't generate any energy.
Yeah, you go down the list, and now all these things, Trump can't do away with them. That has to happen through Congress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have 53 seats in the Senate, and they haven't come up with the final numbers in the House, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be 220. Yeah, it's going to be 220.
That's a two-vote margin.
And if we look at the races, here in Arizona, we have one seat, Sisgamanis, in six. That's very, very close. He's down like 350. What is it?
He's up by about 1,000 votes right now. He's up by about 1,000 votes as of this morning.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
The seesaw.
So that just flipped around.
Are there anybody?
And then.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And that's good. And so in other words, that means we're going to have at least 220. The other race in Arizona that's kind of on the edge right now, besides Lake, is Vince Leach. And that's he's down like 355 votes as of this morning. Mm-hmm. But there's still more votes to come out of Pima County. And the portion of Pima County that he has is Republican-leaning. And so he might pick up those additional 355 and end up winning that seat. So we'd end up with 17 seats in the Senate. And we're already on tack to end up with 35 in the House. So it's a good win here in Arizona for us.
In terms of the U.S. Congress, of those 220, are there any that are known to be problem wobblers in terms of keeping the coalition together?
Of course, there's going to be fights. I mean, there's no question about that. And that. Something I think Johnson has done a pretty good job of working with that, so we'll see how that all works out. But the fact that we now have 53 seats in the Senate, and it's possible we might end up with 54, and I'm saying that because Lake is down, she's getting closer. There's still 330,000 ballots to count in Maricopa County.
That's good.
And those are ballots that were turned in on Election Day. Overwhelmingly Republican, so I think she's still got a chance at picking up enough to finish it off. It'll be tight. It's still going to be very close, so we'll have to watch how that goes.
Even at 53, the most important thing to my eye, and I'm somewhat prejudiced, but if to my eye, the way of looking at things is it's highly likely that there's going to be at least one and possibly two Supreme Court justices that'll come up for a vote, and probably early enough on that there won't be a fight getting their hearings on board. And with 53 Republican votes, you're pretty well. I think Trump's true legacy as well as all the other great things he does, his true legacy will be the Supreme Court. I mean,
totally agree with you.
We would not have had Bruin without that.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You've got the Democrats who wanted 13 Supreme Court justices. I think this is the time we give it to them.
Pack the court while the packing's good, huh?
Look, you guys asked for it. We're just trying to, be conciliatory.
So,
hey,
look,
give you what you want.
We'll compromise. We won't dig up, Justice Bork and install him posthumously as a concession.
All right. So, let's talk one further thing about the Supreme Court. There are some Democrat leaders and pundits who are demanding or certainly suggesting seriously that Justice Sotomayor vacate her position on the Supreme Court, giving Joe Biden the ability to appoint a new Supreme Court justice to replace her. Is there enough time?
Yes.
Is there enough time? And if she did resign and that effort failed, is her resignation permanent?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, I know it is. Eb asked the question before the show.
I think it is. I think you have to resign. I guess you could say if we can appoint a new justice, then I'll resign. If you can't, then I'll continue on. That would have to be in her letter of resignation, I would expect.
Mm-hmm. I think she's going to Ruth Bader Ginsburg it.
I think so, too. I think it's sort of insulting.
Yes.
What they're trying to do to her, what they tried with Ginsburg. So let's go back to the election. This effort by the Trump team was far more targeted and granular than I remember in a long time. The black vote, the Latino vote.
The Jewish vote.
Jewish vote, first-time voters, very frequent time voters. And in counties and areas where they felt the pickings were ripe. And now Susie Wiles has mm-hmm. become his chief of staff.
Misogynist Susie Wiles. Wiles.
What do you know about Susie Wiles?
Based on what Mark Cuban says, she's got to be a really stupid person then, right?
Yeah, yeah. But what do you know about her? What have you heard about her?
I met her one time. She was very impressive. I liked her. I think that she's going to be tough, and she's going to keep focused on what it is she wants and what Trump wants, and they'll move it forward the best they can. And again, she's a hard worker. So, again, what I said earlier is this is a 24/7 job at this point, getting everything squared away.
She said that she's going to do a real tight job of gatekeeping the Oval Office. What effect, if she's successful in that, do you think it'll have on the Trump presidency?
Well, I think it's a matter of how you interpret that. I think that she'll pick a good team for him to work, and they'll all work together. And that's, I think, is what matters. And I don't think that means she's going to, just scale it down to, you have to be a far right Republican in order to be able to be on the staff.
Well, I didn't mean staff. I meant the idea of who's going to have access to the president.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, she'll certainly screen that for sure.
Do you think that'll have, in other words, there were a lot of people that in the first Trump administration that had influence, had sway, were able to talk to the president. Do you think if she narrows that down, it'll make for a more focused presidency?
Yes, exactly. That's the whole point, is that it's not going to get sidetracked. And again, Trump learned that in his first, before he was even out of office, he had learned that you had to do that. Okay, really scale it down to those people that are really getting stuff done for you and not be wasting your time talking to people that can't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition really started, I understand, before the election was over. There's been work going on for the last few months.
Yeah, but Bruce, that's because it was clear a month ago he was going to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question was, how much was he going to win by? But it was pretty clear that he had it in the pocket. He just had to not do anything stupider. And again, like I always say, as long as there's not a black swan that shows up, that's the way it's going to end up.
Well, they had used all the slurs on him, and they brought out whatever Billy Bush video they had out there. I don't know what was left, and they had litigated the heck out of the guy for the past year or so. And you're right, there really was no black swan event for him.
Well, there was a black squirrel event for them.
But I was just going,
hey,
there.
Squirrel lives matter.
But there was that squirrel and raccoon thing, Rocky and Bullwinkle kind of a time.
First we call moose and squirrel.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of a schnook.
Randy, what does it tell you when we look at the numbers, and there were probably 13 million fewer voters on the Democratic side in 2024 than there were in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, Trump lost about a million or so, but the Dems lost
Correct.
13 million and change.
Correct.
Were those votes ever there? Really? Really?
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't vote this time that voted last time. I think, and that's what I was looking at earlier. Last week we were talking, I wasn't looking at the polling. I was looking at the voter registrations and how many in those states where you could vote early, who was turning in their ballots. And you could see Republicans were performing well and Democrats were not performing well. They were not as excited, involved, as they were in 2020.
Randy, what was there for them to be excited about?
Nothing. That's the point.
Well, I'm going to go one further. How many of those votes didn't exist to voters?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, again, I helped on the Arizona audit with the Senate overseeing what was going on in 2020. And it was very clear that, I mean, we had plenty of evidence to show that Maricopa County didn't properly review the signatures on the envelopes, and we had professionals looking at them, and we determined there was over 200,000 of Maricopa County's ballots that were not cured, that should have been cured, but they just went ahead and processed them.
As well as the chain of custody.
Yeah, and this is the same thing we saw back in 2008, Bruce, right?
Yep.
It's exactly so how do we fix thing. That? Ballots get turned in. They don't check the signatures. They open up the envelopes, take out the ballot. And then once they do that, there's no way of ever knowing.
So how do we fix that?
Or a bad vote.
Randy, how do we fix that?
That is going to be Heap's new job. And I've had discussions with him about how we start to clean that up. The voter rolls are the main problem, one. Two, and then we need to go back in the system the way we used to do it, which is if the ballot was not turned in by the Friday before the election, then it didn't count.
Is that what Florida does?
Yes. We got to go back to that system, which worked, which is that then you had to show up at the voting center and vote because your early ballot would not have been received and it would not be counted. Okay, and that's kind of what we need to go back to. Now, the problem that creates is, and again, it's what they did in Maricopa County. They went to voting centers instead of doing precincts. If you do it at the precinct level, it's pretty easy because you have 720 or so precinct places to vote instead of 190. And when you go to your precinct to vote, every ballot is exactly what you need. They don't have to print it out. It's right there, okay, because that's what you're doing. They don't have to print it out at a voting center based on which precinct you're in.
Randy, how much did the Republican leadership push to vote early help?
I think that was great. They needed to do that. That, again, what they did in 22 was a total mistake. Disaster, and they learned from that, and then they flipped it around and said, let's get the votes in early as soon as we can. Because, again, that's why I was looking at the registrations and why I was also looking at who is turning in their ballots, because that really gives you an indication of how the election is going. And you could see in Arizona, where I really focused, that we were gaining substantially. I mean, where are we now? I mean, I think last time I was on the radio, Trump was going to win by 6 to 8 points. And he's up over 6 points already.
Yep.
And there's still another 330,000 ballots to count in Maricopa County. Okay, so he's going to – that's great for him. I mean, and the thing I was really concerned about, I mentioned last time, was the popular vote. I wanted to make sure they had a good, solid popular vote because that really undercuts the Democrats' final argument, right?
And takes away another argument to get rid of the Electoral College, too.
Exactly. And so that I think that was important, and I'm glad to see he's up by 4 million. That's huge. And again, it's not, and if Republicans turned out again, but the problem was Democrats did not turn out and vote as much as they did in 2020.
Well, it was the same sort of thing in 2016 when Trump won the first time. There was sort of a not so much a disaffection, but just sort of a, we really don't care if Hillary Clinton wins amongst most of the people across, you know, flyover America.
Correct.
Seemed to me, and it seemed the same way here. They were talking about things that really didn't. This is how we kind of started the show here today. The Democrats are talking about stuff that really nobody else cared about except people in that bubble.
And that's why I was quoting, "I can't get no satisfaction," because they weren't getting any from the Democrat Party.
Randy, we've got about a minute and 36 seconds left. What important thing do you want to leave the audience with?
The important thing is that the Republican Party did a great job this time. They identified who the potential new voters were for the party, and that's great. And we just need to continue to build on that base again, because we're the party that takes care of the middle class. It takes care of the people, not the Democrats.
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, Gina Swoboda, with a lot of RNC and NRCC and NRSC help, did a pretty good job in this election, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, that she coordinated everything. She worked with everybody. She might not have agreed with everybody on everything, but she worked with everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you have to do to win elections, right? We've seen it before, Bruce.
Yep.
When
yep.
everything works together and the team's all united and working together, you have great success.
It's why we did so poorly in Pima County. Randy Pullen, we're up against the top of the hour CBS disinformation break. We got to run. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Stay
have
tuned, folks.
One.
You bet. And
okay.
Go Cats. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with Solomon Yu from Oregon.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
Hello?
Hey, this is Mike from Perfection Auto Works. How's that car running?
It's great. Thanks so much for getting me in.
Man, I'm glad you're happy. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, this is Mike Emery. Are you satisfied with the work that we did on the car?
It runs great, Mike. I actually enjoy driving again. Thanks for the follow-up call and thanks for the great work.
Man, you just made my day.
Hello?
Hey, this is Mike Emery. How's that car running?
Man, are you kidding me? It runs like new. Man, you guys do great work.
We love satisfied customers. Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
At Perfection Auto Works, it's not just about auto and truck repair. It's about the lifelong friendships and satisfied customers we've made for over 35 years. Perfection Auto Works, where we know your name. Home of the free 26-point inspection. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Some advisors say they do everything. Take that with a grain of salt. In fact, take it with a whole salt mine. We specialize in guiding you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. We refer you to other services so that we have no conflicts of interest. Reach us at 777-1911. That's 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.